Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is The Thrill Killer, Serial Killer Richard Fran Beijenwald, I think. Anyway, he was a serial killer. He killed a bunch of people in New Jersey. And, you know, some would say it's, you know, it's New Jersey. So what do you expect?
Some would say it's a public service, Timmy.
No, it was not. It's a terrible, terrible act. And we're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, I'd like to remind all of you that we are a true crime, sometimes true crime comedy podcast. We use adult language.
Sometimes comedy.
Yeah.
Sometimes comedy. We always use adult language, especially when Brandy is here.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Can't help us, Stiles.
We sometimes get off track. Occasionally,
every once in a while.
So if that offends you,
or fuck you.
If foul language offends you, then we would encourage you to check out one of the other fine, independently produced podcasts out there. But you will not get the banter you get with us.
God, no, no.
If you have a banter fetish, this is the place to be, Colonel.
Yes, we are master banters, Tammy.
We are.
Master
or Tammy.
Tammy. By the way, Tammy. I am now a baron, I hope you know. Refer to me as Baron Von Scott.
Baron Von Scott.
I'm probably not going to do that. So, but thanks.
Or well, me lord. If you want to say me lord, that's fine as well.
Me lord?
Yes.
I can get on with that, Tammy.
Thank you, Colonel. Let me introduce our panel. Of course, for this program, we scoured the earth to find that the most intelligent, most articulate host we could find. We couldn't find them, but we got instead a woman who is known throughout the land, Colonel, as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy? You know, you don't get too many queens named Brandy.
You don't.
No.
You don't usually.
You get a lot of strippers named Brandy.
Usually they're strippers.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. With an eye. Brandy with an eye.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
They put a little heart over the eye, too.
I saw, you know, Chuck, I don't think that it's, I don't think it's proper that he uses a noble title that he didn't earn.
I believe, how did you get this title?
It was conveyed upon me.
It was bestowed.
Bestowed and conveyed, yes. Bestowed and conveyed.
Wow.
I must say it's well deserved.
Was the queen involved?
It's been a long time coming, Timmy, but
I guess my question is,
I know that I've seen on the Facebook, Timmy.
The Facebook, yes.
On the Facebook, that
you were on the Facebook, yes.
Yeah, our lovely friend, the fake Irish girl, apparently had a hand in this, giving it to you. Yeah, so my question is,
she has pull with the aristocracy over there in Great Britain, apparently.
Well,
now when did she say Timmy kneeled down and then whack you in the shoulder with a sword? And if she did, how'd she get a sword onto the plane, Timmy?
I don't
so
know.
So many questions.
It's very very persuasive. But
yeah,
you know, by the way, you know the Queen does not have a passport.
I don't know why would she need one? Consummated the whole horn or the whole
there was a sword thing. That was put on my yes, we went through the whole thing and I am now a baron. So kneel before me and
no, I don't think you kneel it. I don't think you kneel before barons.
I think you should.
Well, I know you do.
Well, I guess it depends on how much you're getting paid, I suppose.
I suppose. So,
but Brandy, how have you been, if at all?
I have been all right. I am, you know, currently at battling in a battle to the death with a couple of people.
Are you losing?
Nope. I'm
so nothing new then is what you're saying.
No, not really. I'm gonna win. I'm right now drinking my first cup of coffee for the day. Chuck is
and I get the sense that Chuck is vaping as we speak.
I know. Well, let's say
no,
Chuck's
not me.
Along.
Not me.
Yeah.
This is the only podcast where people, you know, the hosts vape.
I know. The other ones are, yeah.
They probably vape, just not in
they
the middle
do it in
of
the
people
microphone.
Talking.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Brandy, everything is well with you, besides your
everything's,
fight to the death.
Yeah, everything's good. Just kind of status quo, hanging in there, drinking a cup of coffee.
Okay,
trying
well,
to
thank
decide
you,
what
Brandy.
To do with my day.
We appreciate it.
You know thank what? You just got up, so I don't want to hear bullshit from you.
Let me introduce.
And you know what? Wait a minute. Let me just say one more thing. I miss being in a room with you guys.
Well, thank you, Brandy. But, you know, once you're... parole is over.
Yeah, once ankle bracelet comes off,
we can be in the same room together. Yes.
Yeah, promises.
I would like to introduce a man that needs no introduction, Brandy. He's a man who's known as an oasis in the desert of despair. A man who has been described as the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
I know one.
The very honorable.
And Yoda, you keep forgetting the goddamn Yoda podcast.
The Yoda
I got that title too.
You should write that down.
Yeah.
Very honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Not good, Timmy.
Oh, here we go.
What's wrong, Colonel?
I've been rattled around this house by myself for 3 days.
So Renee finally left you. Mrs. Colonel finally left you.
She may or may not have. I'm not really sure. She's supposed to be coming back today, but they
That's
took my dog, Timmy.
O'clock.
I don't really mind her going, but they took the dog, Timmy.
Oh. What did... Okay. Is she skiing or something?
Yes.
And I take it you don't ski or fly.
Well, Timmy, here's the thing, Timmy, is I was all prepared to go.
Uh-huh.
Snowmobiling, Timmy. Snowmobiling.
Okay.
Like James Bond, Timmy.
Right.
You get on the snowmobile, you go 80 miles an hour down the trail. And I was all prepared to go. And you know that I have my little home recording studio built here.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of my home recording studio to go into the other room to pass through the laundry room, which I have to get to. And the light was out, Timmy. Now, I turned the light on when I came in. But
that sounds creepy, Brandy.
Out. It gets even better, Timmy.
It gets better.
As I took two steps, Timmy, there was a laundry basket. There was sabotage involved, Timmy.
What happened, and Colonel? What do you think?
I hit the laundry basket, and I tumbled over the laundry basket. And I fell onto the concrete floor, and I had to go to the hospital because now my back has a disc bulging in it, Timmy. And the doctor told me I would not get on a snowmobile if I were you because one wrong move and you could be, I guess, crippled forever.
And a lot of length that you go to get out of
She's trying to kill you.
I believe people are trying to kill me, and usually I can catch them. Usually I'm one, but I'm getting old, Timmy, and I'm just not as sharp as I used to. It's like in the movie Godfather. When they said 10 years ago, would I have been able to get to the Don like that? Well, Timmy, I flipped over the laundry basket because she laid it out in front of my path. And you know what? 5 years ago, I wouldn't have fallen for that, Timmy. But I've gotten a little soft.
Oh, God. Yep. What would you have given Brandy to watch that?
So now it's time for me to get hard again. Wouldn't that have been hilarious? I got to get hard again, Timmy.
I know. But I think
the important question, Colonel, besides secondary to your health, of course, is what kind of prescriptions did you get?
I got muscle relaxers, Timmy.
Oh,
did you get the Percocet?
They would not give me Percocet, Tim.
Fuck.
I know. Well, that's what I said. I tumbled over, tried to hurt my... Well, they wouldn't even give me Percocet, Timmy.
I'm sorry, Colonel.
So it wasn't a serious injury?
No.
My leg's numb, goddammit. My whole leg's numb.
Any of those muscle relaxers you don't need to use, I mean, I'd be happy to take them and turn them in to the proper...
place.
You know, I do what I can. I'm a giver. We're friends.
We are. Well, give it to Brandy, and Brandy, you can just drop them off me because I'm heading that way anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah. I dare say we're best friends.
Best friends is what you would say.
I would say that.
Well, Colonel, I'm sorry you fell down.
It was more than a fall to me because you know I don't like.
Because, of course,
Colonel doesn't do things in a regular manner, Timmy. Mm-hmm. I stepped and hit the laundry basket, and it threw me off balance, but I got the agility, Timmy, of a cat. You know that. Mm-hmm.
I thought I was okay.
And when I stepped to the side to regain my balance, she had outsmarted me, and she put another laundry basket there, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
Right as I was off balance, I hit it. I hit the shelves. I fell down upon the floor. I had pretzels in my hand. My son heard the crashing and the banging, comes down, opens on the door, flips on the light. He said, what happened, Dad? I said, someone's trying to kill me. And then his next question was not, are you all right? His next question was you eating pretzels? Like, that had something to do with the crime, Timmy.
Well, you have a complicated life, Colonel. You really do.
I have a question for you, Timmy.
Yes.
Now that you are a baron.
Yes.
And in lieu of
I can wear an ascot, Brandy.
I'm excited.
In lieu of
this very excited.
New property you have acquired,
mm-hmm.
Do you have to name the property, Timmy?
Yes, I do. And I'm working on a title. I don't know yet, but
really, Shay Timmy hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, something. Of course, I would want something that's grand, that has a certain amount of grandeur to it. You know, degree of grandeur.
I vote Shay Timmy.
Hmm.
There has to be some gravitas, Timmy.
Yes, gravitas is the word I was looking for.
Let's settle down. He only has a condo.
It's a nice condo.
Let's go.
Well, I know.
Shall we?
Can we get started with this story, Timmy?
We get Brandy a lot of tends to prattle on. Banters.
I know.
This is side
whatever.
Let's banter, Brandy. The people want the meat, Brandy.
The meat story.
Beef. They want the beef.
Where's the beef? You got to give them the meat, Brandy.
Brandy, it was Halloween night on October 31st, 1981. When 17-year-old Maria something.
Jesus.
Cialetta, something like that. Maria C., we'll call her, set out on an evening of what was likely to be her running into ghosts and goblins and ghouls. Brandy, it was Halloween.
Cialetta.
Okay. Maria C. But Maria never dreamed, Brandy, that she was about to encounter a real-life monster.
Much how like, you like I that, do every week. That was some prose right there, Timmy.
How do you like that turn of phrase, Brandy?
That was painting a picture, Timmy.
Amazing.
Well, you see what I did there. I tied Halloween into this, description of this serial killer as a monster.
Right, yeah.
See, I did that,
you're
Brandy?
Walt Whitman. Yeah, you're Walt Whitman.
She was worried about him.
He had good candy, you know.
Did.
Well, I just sampled them. I haven't had all of them, but, the sample of them were pretty good.
Right. They're the best.
Mm. Around 6 p.m., the bright, athletic high school student, Maria, told her father that she was getting out and would return around midnight. Soon after the clock struck 12, Maria was seen walking along Route 88 toward her home in Brick, New Jersey. Now, Brandy, we have a lot of listeners in New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, the lovely Alexandra, of course, is from New Jersey. I'm sure many others.
Yes.
A patrolman on a radio call spotted Maria and made a mental note to offer her a lift upon his return. I guess he was going in the other direction.
He made a note to self.
A mental note. He was back within 10 minutes, but by that time, the girl had vanished like the ghost in the night, Brandy. How'd you like that, Colonel? Ghost in the night.
That was scary, Timmy. I'm getting chills sitting here, Timmy.
Are they multiplying?
It would be about a year and a half before anyone would find out what became of Maria on that Halloween night. On April 19th, 1983, police found Maria's corpse cut into three pieces and buried in the yard of a rundown blue house in the Charleston section of Staten Island. She was not alone. So that means there were other remains there.
Oh.
The shallow grave held the remains of another girl, one Deborah Osborne, who was 17 years old at the time she disappeared from Point Pleasant, New Jersey. A Point Pleasant, New Jersey bar the previous April. The house belonged to a bewildered elderly woman, Sally Bergenwald, 68, mother of the key suspects in the killing of the two girls, as well as other murders in New Jersey. Her son, Richard Bergenwald, 42, had been in trouble since he was 5 years old.
Oh, Jesus.
But she still stood by him. You know, she's a mother. She's sticking by her boy.
Yeah.
Richard killed at least 9 people and is suspected in at least 2 other murders. So we're going to talk about his.
He's a busy little son, bitch.
Mm. Yeah. Richard Fran Bergenwald was born on August 24th, 1940, in Rockland County, New York. So he was born on August 24th, Colonel. What does that mean?
It means he's a Leo, Timmy.
She was pregnant during Christmas.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, okay. No, she wouldn't have been.
Or she got pregnant on Christmas.
Right around.
She got pregnant right around Christmas.
Mm. Well, she would have been pregnant during President's Day, Brandy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, she, you know what, that's Easter. Back when the baby It Was Cold Outside song was okay to sing, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she ended up pregnant.
Sake.
She's like, no, I want to go home. No, I'll stay here. Oh, no, I got a baby.
That's how it happens, Brandy.
It does.
I suppose. I don't remember it that way, but okay.
He got off to so this little boy, Richard, got off to a rough start. After his father, Ronald, found out that his wife, Sally, gave Richard the name Fran, he nearly beat her to death in the hospital parking lot. He did not like the name Fran. So
goddamn, that's like naming a boy Sue.
That's harsh. Well, yeah, but it's okay with Johnny Cash.
Settle down, Francis.
Ronald told police that he hated the name Fran because, this is a quote here, it's a queer's name. So this obviously is a progressive, you know.
Yeah.
Well, open-minded
guy. He's a Bernie bro, Timmy.
People arrested Ronald, but he was soon released when Sally failed to press charges.
Of course she did.
Richard Bergenwald was frequently beaten as a child by his alcoholic father. Ronald started beating Richard before he could even walk. At least two occasions, Ronald put Richard in scalding bath water and once held his head underwater until Richard nearly drowned. So he's basically waterboarding his son, I guess.
Well, so basically what you got is the recipe for a serial killer here, Timmy.
Yeah, he's not to a good start. Ronald would also force Richard to drink alcohol while he was still an infant, putting whiskey in Richard's baby bottle.
Good way to get him to go to sleep.
Right, yeah. Ronald told his wife that he didn't like to drink alone and that Richard wasn't what? Thinking about it. It's not funny.
Would they just sit around and tell stories being all drunk?
I don't know. He told her that Richard was his drinking buddy. All right. So, obviously, this guy is a little abusive. Ronald and his wife, Sally, would often argue in front of the young boy. Ronald would beat his wife with a belt while she screamed in pain. And I don't think this is, Colonel, I know sometimes you get a little kinky, but I don't think this is.
I don't think this was done for fun, Timmy.
No, I don't think so. Richard was young and
needed the money. Just every time somebody says I was young, they usually follow it up with I needed the money.
Right. Mm. No, that's your stories.
He tried to protect his mom as best as he could. But when he did, it would only result in him getting beaten instead of his mother, Sally. So when Ronald planned to beat Richard or his mother, he would turn up the volume of the family stereo so neighbors could not hear their screams. When Richard heard the volume increase, he knew someone was about to be beaten by his father. So, yeah, this is not a good environment for a young tot. At the age of 5, Richard set fire to his home and was sent for observations to the Rockland County Psychiatric Center. And, of course, you've probably been there, right, Colonel?
I've visited some people there, Timmy.
Okay. Ronald had been drunk and had beaten his boy because Richard had eaten his father's ice cream sandwiches. Well, Brandy.
Well, goddamn, Timmy. I mean,
we don't want to excuse domestic violence.
Right, but also there are mitigating circumstances here, Timmy.
Wait a minute.
Have the dad called dibs? Because if he called dibs...
I think he was an ass. So, you know, he was one of those dads, like, if it's in my house, it belongs to me. And
now, you know what I mean? if you don't call dibs, without dibs, there's anarchy.
Yeah.
Well, after beating Richard with a belt over these ice cream sandwiches, Ronald passed out in the easy chair in the living room. So he was, you know, he was drunk.
Don't sound like anything was easy in that house, Timmy. They ought to call it the hard chair, the brutal chair.
Now, once his father was asleep, 5-year-old Richard poured gasoline throughout the house and lit a match.
Turned it into a burning bed. Yeah. Burning bed situation.
Or a burning easy
chair. Burning easy chair.
Yeah. His mother was returning from the grocery store when she saw the flames. I wonder if she got any ice cream sandwiches. That would have solved the problem. Sally was able to wake Ronald up to get him out of the house before he was killed.
So, oh, see, that's her fault. What is she doing?
Richard was arrested at 5 and underwent psychiatric evaluations. How will you arrest a 5-year-old? Richard would spend
get the little tiny handcuffs, Timmy.
I guess. Richard would spend 9 weeks at the Rockland County Psychiatric Center. How old were you when you were first arrested, Brandy?
You know what? This isn't my story.
Just curious. The listeners need to know. They like to know about you. They like to know personal detail. When did your criminal enterprise begin, Devil?
Officially.
I plead the 5th. 5th.
All right.
Plead the 5th. See?
Well, that's disturbing because that means that some of them, the statute of limitations hasn't run out on. So.
Plead the 5th.
Doctors at the clinic, at the psychiatric center, concluded that the 5-year-old suffered from a borderline personality disorder and was potentially violent. I didn't even know they could diagnose BPD yet early, but I guess we can. Doctors also Doctors also stated Richard suffered from depression, likely the result of physical and emotional abuse. So there's some sharp fucking doctors at that hospital.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, your dad holds you under scalding water, makes you drink whiskey, beat you over ice cream sandwich. What seems to be your problem here? What do you? Yeah,
you're bound to have some.
You might be a malingerer here.
Well, child welfare became involved, although the reports were inconclusive. Ronald and Sally retained custody of young Richard. By the age of 8, Richard was drinking and gambling.
Oh my God!
At age 9, he underwent electric shock therapy at the New York
State. Was he playing the ponies, Timmy? What was he doing there?
Dice.
Little kid sitting there in the stands with a cigar in his mouth, drinking a Bloody Mary.
Shooting craps. I think you're right, Brandon.
You know it was dice. You know it was dice. You know, this sounds like one of those stories, again, where, like, the entire system has failed everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just sounds like if he would have caught his dad on fire, he would have solved the whole problem.
Exactly. So this all goes back to his mother.
Yeah.
Who woke the son of a bitch up.
Now, after his therapy, Richard was placed in the state training school for boys in Warwick, New York. During his years there, he was accused of theft and inciting other inmates to escape. So he... He's a little rubber rouser there, Colonel.
Well, I think by this time he might have been just a wee bit angry to me.
You think?
Sounds like an angry young man to me.
During trips to visit his mother in Staten Island, he would steal money from her to buy alcohol and drugs. When he was 11 years old, he set himself on fire at his mother's home.
Well, did she stop him?
Well, my question is, Colonel, was he a Buddhist at the time? Because exactly. if he's a Buddhist, that's okay.
Was this about the time of the Vietnam War, Timmy?
I don't know. Maybe it was before the Vietnam War. Yeah, maybe. Richard had been asking his mother to buy him a bike for his 11th birthday. She had been saving money to surprise her son with the bike, but a week before his birthday, Ronald, his dad, stole the money and went on a drinking binge with it.
There it is.
So, it goes back to daddy.
Yeah, you know what, Timmy? He would have been, he could have been, at roughly this time, it'd have been about 51. He might have been protesting the Korean War, Timmy.
Yes, he may have, Brandy. He may have been a monk, and we just don't just don't have that in there. So
I don't think that's what happened.
If you're a monk, you can get yourself on fire. It's okay.
There's a technical term called self-immolation, devil.
Yes.
That's when you catch yourself on fire. And sometimes, you know, the danger is, my doctor has told me this before.
There we go.
That I'm so hot, devil, I always risk spontaneous combustion.
Right, duh.
I can't even fill up the car at the gas station.
Did you guys read that story about the news anchor that died because he put meth in his butthole?
In his rectum?
I saw the headline.
The more disturbing thing, Timmy, was amount of times that he had the other male person's entire hand in his backside, Timmy. Yeah. It's like, they fisted some more, then they put some meth in there.
People just can't fuck anymore, you know? What happened to fucking, Brandy?
Let's be crazy and do it doggy style.
Right.
They had toys, Brandy,
you're
they
in
had
all
gags.
This weird stuff. Can you explain it?
What?
What made regular sex lose its charm? Was it when you were the economics professor that you got so kinky and carried away?
Yeah.
I mean, now people have to put meth up their rectum. They have to catch themselves on fire. They have to strangle themselves. Why can't they just fuck, Brandy?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, these are your people. You should be able to explain them to us.
I can't explain it, nor do I want to.
Sometimes, you know what?
We look to you for answers.
Yeah,
everybody just needs to be free to do their own thing. If setting yourself on fire works for you, you know, everybody's got a thing.
Shoving meth up your ass doesn't work for this guy. He's dead.
Well, not anymore. Yeah. I'm guessing it's not the first time that meth has been there.
I just hope he really got off, because that seems to me a little bit extreme.
Well, I would think the hard thing to me would be when you put the meth up your ass, don't you smoke that and have to light it with a lighter?
I don't know. Don't you have to know how much you're doing? Because you could overdose. No. I guess that's what he did, right?
Yes.
Meth up your ass, somebody lights a lighter.
You know, when you strangle yourself? I don't understand that. What is it? Just have sex, people.
Yeah.
Tell them,
just
Colonel.
Do the deed. Just a little missionary style ain't going to hurt you, people.
In the dark. Missionary style in the dark.
In the dark.
In the dark. With your pajamas on.
And don't look at each other.
No. No, and for God's sake, don't talk.
Oh, God, no, don't talk.
Oh. Ain't nothing breaks up your rhythm like having somebody talk to you in the middle of it, Timmy.
Good point, Colonel. Brandy, are you verbal when you are, you know, sharing your love?
Like, move your shoulder, I can't see the TV? Yeah.
See, here's the thing. At the end of this entire act, Timmy, at the end of this entire act, I'm going to have an orgasm. See, and that, again, is crossing the finish line, much like the horse race theory I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I crossed the finish line.
First one that finishes wins.
Who wins? Yeah, it's like the Kentucky Derby. And I'm going to have that same orgasm, whether you do it missionary style or whether you shove 5 pounds of cocaine up my ass.
Whether I do it with you, whether I do it with you or a hooker, it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
I don't think that's grater, true.
It's just all the same. At the end of the day, I don't know.
Cheese grater?
That's what will be happening next. It'd be like,
wait a minute.
Shove it into a cheese grater, make it bleed.
Wait a minute. Like one of those that they have at the Olive Garden with the crank and everything?
When you're there, you're family.
You are family. Unlimited breadsticks up your ass, Timmy.
Okay. So, anyway. So, Richard's mom was saving money to buy him a bike. You know, dad takes it, goes on a drunk, right? So when Richard found out, he went into the family garage, took out a container of gasoline, doused himself with it, and lit a match. So this is his attempt to catch himself on. Yeah.
Sound like a pouty little bastard, too. Didn't get his
think it was attention-seeking, Brandy?
Maybe a little bit. A little bit.
Fortunately, Richard's mother saw what he was doing and was able to put the fire out. I don't know if that's fortunate or not, because he went on to be a serial killer. So,
well, wait a minute. Did she wait until he actually set himself on fire? Or did she watch the kitchen?
He was dousing
himself with gasoline, going, I wonder what he's doing.
Because he was rushed to the hospital with third-degree burns, so he obviously cut himself on fire.
Well, no. Right, no. But what I'm saying is, was she sitting there watching him going, I wonder what that little son of a bitch is doing? And then, you know, wait until he actually lights the match. And it's like, huh.
Well, he can't really say anything until he lights the match. Really.
Yeah, because you don't know how many times he fakes setting himself on fire.
Yeah, it may be frequent.
At some point, but, it's like, no, I'm
you know, good. Someone needs to set him down and say, okay, here you are. Now you have third-degree burns. But you still don't have the bicycle. You know what I mean, Colonel? Someone has to sit down and explain that to him. And anyway, the rest
I think somebody need to sit him down and say, son, your life doesn't seem to be headed in the proper direction.
Not making good decisions.
Yeah. When you're setting yourself on fire, something has gone wrong.
Unless you're a
monk. That's kind of what I do with my kids, though. I wait until I'm like, wonder what he's doing out there. Huh, got the gas can. What's he getting ready to do? I mean, seriously.
Right.
Why does this kid have matches?
It's all about good timing.
But I think that we've established the child should not have matches or a lighter. So why is he walking around?
Well, this kid already smoked a pack a day. Of course he's going to have a lighter. True. He probably had a Zippo, just could light it by opening it up.
I get the sense that he's ready to catch anything on fire at any time. at this point.
At the drop of a hat, he's ready to set something on fire.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a good idea to have gasoline in a container in your garage when you've got young Richard around.
Well, with young Richard,
why do they call people named Richard Dick, Brandy?
Well, I mean, have you ever met any cool guys named Richard? No, that's why they call him Dick.
Richard Nixon?
So, Richard Ramirez? He was. Oh, so yeah. Was Richard Ramirez. So, I mean.
You know, this whole Roger Stone thing has started a big fan of people getting Richard Nixon tattoos on the back to me.
I know. I didn't know that.
That's ignorant. Yeah. God, that's ignorant.
So, I'm going to get a Winston Churchill on my back.
I was going to say.
Well, you should like totally do that.
Margaret
Teddy
Thatcher.
Roosevelt.
Margie Thatcher, yeah.
Maggie.
You should get Teddy Roosevelt.
Ooh,
Teddy
Bully!
Roosevelt would be a good one. Bully.
See?
I'm going to get a Teddy Roosevelt tramp stamp.
We had a
you absolutely
podcast,
should do that.
We had a Teddy Roosevelt podcast not too long ago.
Bully!
Remember Teddy Roosevelt's very bad day where his wife and wife and mother died in the same day in the same house?
Why do you start cracking up?
I don't know. It's inappropriate, Colonel.
I think he said. I think Tim, but you know what? We called it his really bad day. But, you know, somewhere I believe that Teddy Roosevelt walked away and was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, you think he had a sigh of relief?
Well, your mother-in-law and your.
No, it was his mother. His mother and his wife died the same day, same time, same house.
Yeah. Well, wasn't him.
That's true.
You know, I thought that was a good day. When everybody in the house dying, then you don't. That's a good day to me.
Well, okay. But, you know, someone has to clean up, Randy.
They do.
Richard was again placed at the Rockland County Psychiatric Center for a period of several months. This is after he caught himself on fire.
Well, because they did such a good job the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to go back and reevaluate their treatment of him. Upon his release, Richard tried to set a neighbor's car on fire. Well, he's just a fire-setting fool, Brandy.
It's a pyromaniac.
And he was sent back to the state training school for boys. So Richard off to a really difficult start, Colonel, in his young life.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's... going to be being a Rhodes Scholar here, Timmy.
Hmm. Brandy, what happens next to young Richard?
Holy fuck!
What the hell?
Well, okay, then.
I read the script, and I must have missed this part, because... Go ahead, read it, Brandy.
All right.
Read it, and don't just say the words. I want you to think about what you're saying here.
Yeah, in other words, do what you normally don't do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Put some feeling into it, Brandy.
Fuck you, Beth.
We want to hear it from your diaphragm.
Yeah.
Look, my diaphragm's none of your business.
Put some feeling into it. Didn't you? You got your diaphragm fixed. It should be working now.
All right, that's fine. You ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
When Richard was 16 years old, he graduated 8th grade.
God damn right. Motherfucker was driving to elementary school.
He was so excited he cut himself shaving. Okay, so and, he's a little behind.
Well, he spent a lot of time in jail already. Let's see. And he was released from the training school.
And let's be fair, he has been spent a few weeks in intensive care along the way. So
Right.
That'll set you back, Colonel.
So he was released from the training school to attend high school. Well, that's nice. Richard dropped out of high school after only a few weeks. I'm shocked by that. I'm just shocked.
Well, at least he didn't catch it on fire.
Well, there is that. Soon after dropping out of school, Richard went to Nashville, Tennessee, where he stayed for 2 years. He stole a car in Nashville and was arrested in Kentucky by federal agents for transporting a stolen car across state lines.
Well, they will get you in Holland. Don't try.
Oh,
to
yeah, they
steal
will.
A car, yeah.
Yeah, they will. He was returned to the custody of his mother on Staten Island in 1958. After being returned to his mother, Richard stole another car and went to Bayonne, New Jersey. There, on May 22nd, 1958, Richard robbed a grocery store. Well, it was a matter of time.
Yes, shooting, and he's progressively getting worse.
Shooting and killing the store owner, Stephen, I can't read that.
Slodowski, I think.
Slodowski. Okay, there you go.
Slodowski.
Slodowski. Well, I'm reading it off my phone, so it's small type.
Oh, so you're not prepared for the podcast.
Yeah, you aren't even close. Mm, yeah,
I am. I have it, so it's okay. The victim was also a well-respected attorney and local prosecutor.
And he owned a grocery store. So this guy had something going on. He was a very successful young man. And Richard stole his life, basically.
Yes. So at the age of 18, Richard...
He did catch him on fire that we know of.
Right. Richard had committed his first murder, and it would not be his last, or we wouldn't be doing a podcast on him. Richard fled the state after the murder, but was captured 2 days later in Salisbury, Maryland, after shooting a police officer there. Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Richard was extradited to New Jersey, where he was convicted of murder and given a life sentence. But he was released in 1974 for good behavior after 16 years of imprisonment. Huh. Okay, good.
It took him 16 years to behave properly.
Hmm. Nothing like incarceration that will make you behave good.
Right.
They stick you in a cell. There's no one else you're going to do.
Well, I mean, you can always.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Please, you know, shank somebody, I guess.
Always throw feces at the guards.
Hmm.
Feces throwing.
Have you ever done that, Colonel? Did you ever throw your own feces?
When you were in jail?
Only one provoked, Timmy.
Okay.
Duh.
In retaliation, in other words.
Yeah.
Richard worked odd jobs for the next 3 years and kept a low profile. In 1977, Richard was suspected in a rape and was wanted for failing to report to his parole officer. He was arrested in Brooklyn in 1980 on the rape charge, but was released after the victim failed to pick him out of a lineup. Back on the street, Richard worked more odd jobs and met a pretty 16-year-old girl who was a neighbor of his mother. Richard sometimes went by the alias Johnny Black. What the hell?
Johnny Black.
Oh, and would often refer to his penis as Black Johnny.
Black Johnny.
Yes.
Black Johnny, yeah.
I wonder why. I know it's white, though.
Yeah.
Black Johnny.
The girl.
I call mine Black Bobby Bambalam.
No, you don't.
Oh, Black Bobby Bambalam. Oh, Black Bobby Bambalam.
God.
Okay, Colonel, Brandy, do you have any pet names for body parts?
No.
Come on, what do you call the girls?
Lightning and Thunder.
Okay.
Well, then you do.
I don't know. All right. So this poor little 16-year-old girl, she was pretty. She was an outstanding student whose parents were shocked when they found out that she was engaged to
Johnny Black.
To a scar-faced ex-con who was more than twice her age.
With a penis named Black Johnny.
Yes. By this time, Richard had not reported to his parole officer since mid-1977 and was suspected in a rape as well. He was arrested in Brooklyn in June of 1980 and married his girlfriend in the Brooklyn House of Detention.
Oh,
married his girlfriend
sweet.
While he was in jail.
Maybe, Colonel, he was Black Johnny. Maybe his penis was Black Johnny because it came when he was, you know, caught himself on fire.
Yeah, that could happen. Charcoal.
Oh, it's charred.
It was like a hot dog that you leave on the grill too long. Yeah. You ever seen a zebra penis, devil?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that's
the
just...
The black is cold. Yeah.
Yes.
Black is cold. Maybe it was like that.
He served six
months. Zebra is white or black, devil?
I don't know. I guess that's an existential question.
Let's black see. With white stripes? White with black stripes?
I don't know. It's a universal
mystery. I ponder those questions.
You really shouldn't. So he served 6 months for his parole violation. And when he was released, he moved into an apartment with his wife in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Okay, so him and his young bride get married at the detention center. He's now out starting a new life with his young bride.
Right.
And he would have been living by Bruce Springsteen right in Asbury Park there.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have thought that would have put him in a good mood.
He was born to run, Colonel.
Yeah.
All right, Asbury Park. Okay, so it was in Asbury Park that Richard was befriended by an odd 32-year-old man named Darren Fitzgerald, who would play a role in several of his future murders. On Halloween night, which would be October 31st, 1981, Richard drove past Maria and Slidella. Is that what we decided?
Yeah.
Slidella?
Yeah. Something like Theodella,
that. Who was walking late at night on Highway 88 near Brick, New Jersey. Richard slowed down and asked her if she needed a lift, and Maria said no and started walking at a quicker pace. Yeah. Not to be deterred, Richard tried to reassure the teenager that he was a minister new to the area, and he was worried about her safety walking alone.
Well, that is considerate of him, Brandy.
When Maria still refused to get into the car, Richard pulled a gun on her and threatened to shoot her if she didn't get in.
That was less considerate.
Yes, at that point, Maria complied, and I bet she figured out he wasn't a minister.
Probably.
Richard then drove to a nearby secluded area, raped Maria twice, and after he was finished, Maria pled for her life. She told Richard that she would not mention the assault to anyone if he would just let her go. Richard agreed and told her he would drop her off near her home. And as they walked back to the car, Richard said he started having second thoughts. And at that point, he shot Maria point blank in the back of the head.
So this is what I don't get about these guys. I mean, not obviously do they do dastardly deeds. But one of the things that we found out about the Me Too movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many assaults go unreported. So if someone says, I'm not going to say anything, chances are they're not. You don't have to kill them, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's, you know, like that little girl, she could just went on with her life. He had already raped her. I mean, she could just went on with her life. He didn't have to kill her. I mean, it was just.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, that there's enough reasons why women don't want to report these crimes anyway. But. Right. You know, it's almost like, you know, it's like an afterthought. I'll kill her, you know.
Yeah. Well, Richard laid her body on the wet grass and proceeded to carve her into three pieces. His intention was to toss Maria's remains in a nearby river, but his plan was interrupted by a police officer out on patrol, which is probably the one that had passed. Yeah.
At
the beginning. When the officer asked what Richard was doing in the area, Richard told the officer that he had been in an argument with his wife and had just taken a drive to calm down. So the officer let Richard go without checking his trunk, which, as we know, is where all bad things are. And his trunk contained the remains of Maria. Richard returned to his mother's home and buried Maria's body in the backyard. On April 8th, 1982, Richard murdered 19-year-old Deborah Osborne. He raped her and then stabbed the young college student to death. She was buried on top of Maria's body at Richard's mother's house. Richard, at this point, was involved in a variety of illegal activities. He was an alcoholic and was shooting up heroin. And in the spring of 1982, Richard also started snorting crack cocaine.
Ooh. That's a path of no return right there.
Yeah. In late summer of 1982, Richard was having problems supporting his drug habit. In September, desperate for drugs, Richard lied and told his drug dealer that a family member had died and left him a large sum of money. Richard's drug dealer and ex-convict, William Ward, agreed to sell Richard a large amount of heroin and crack. The two agreed to meet up at Ward's home in Asbury Park, New Jersey. The two met on September 2nd, 1982, as planned, but instead of paying Ward for the drugs, Richard shot him in the head and chest.
See, that's the risk you run by being a drug dealer, Colonel.
Yeah, kind of. William Ward died
a short
time.
It's not a noble profession.
No, it's not noble. It's very dangerous.
Richard buried William Ward in a shallow grave near Neptune City, New Jersey. Richard committed his next murder on January 4th, 1983, where he shot and killed 18-year-old Anna, not even going to try it, in Ocean Township, New Jersey.
You know, the interesting thing about him is he doesn't really have a pattern, does he? I mean, he kills.
No, he's just a random violent criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty indiscriminate. Let's see. He had found the young woman walking down the boardwalk in Asbury Park and lured her into his car. Anna's body was found by children playing in a wooded lot behind a Burger King, fully clothed with no sign of sexual assault and 4 bullets in her head. Good Lord. A friend of Richard's went to the police after Richard showed her another young woman's body that he had hidden inside his garage. Really?
Yeah, see.
Really?
Not thinking it through. Unless you're going to catch the garage on fire, which, you know, eventually he would have done, probably.
Or kill the friend.
Mm.
Police surrounded Richard's home on January 22nd, 1983, while Darren Fitzgerald was visiting. Both Richard and Fitzgerald were arrested, and a search of the home revealed a small cache of weapons and drugs. Good Lord. I didn't like any part of that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He wasn't like your typical just loner, serial killer type. He was involved in a bunch of different criminal activity.
Well, and let me tell you something. You know, I understand that men have codes with each other. Women have codes too. And one of those codes is if your girlfriend's husband shows you a body in the garage, you don't keep that shit a secret.
No.
You tell somebody. That's one of the girl codes.
Yeah, well,
it's girl code.
Generally, women can't keep a secret anyway.
Chicks before dicks.
Yeah.
What's your motto, Brandon?
That's all I'm saying. Chicks before dicks.
Chicks before dicks.
I go along with that.
Yeah.
I can go along with that. Because me, personally, if I was picking something, I'd pick a chick before a dick.
No, so, dumbass.
You know, Abraham Lincoln used to sleep with men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not sexually. He was just like share beds with them.
Well, and so he like, said.
Well, I mean, like today, that would be. You know,
I'm not judging it.
Right. But if that happened today, you know, people would think, well, it was something sexual going on. But back in the day, I guess men just share beds, which.
Well, yeah, because there wasn't.
I don't like sharing bed with anybody, but especially a dude.
Well, that was much more common back then.
Yeah.
Due to the lack of bedding.
Guys, the problem, Brandy, is you probably noticed, men start. They start having sex in their sleep, don't they, Colonel?
Well, occasionally, we will get a woody, nocturnal woody, is what we call it. And that thing is liable to find itself.
Is that the technical term?
Nocturnal woody? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's a medical term for it.
I see.
And it can be problematic because you're asleep, you really have no control over what the thing's going to do.
Well, even if you're awake, you really don't have any control.
No, it pretty much controls you all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you see these commercials, Timmy. I look on the TV and I see these commercials about Cialis and Viagra and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I think, why?
Why does everyone have separate bathtubs? That's what I don't get.
Well, the thing
is, they're out in the middle of a field. Where's the plumbing coming from?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because usually, a good stiffy just leads you down the path of destruction.
Yeah.
Now you're safe. You're safe from yourself. The thing can no longer lead you into problems.
And you know you're going to, at the very least, you're going to save a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the thing's not controlling me anymore. You've lost all your power over me, penis.
But penises have a mind of their own, Brandy. That's what I'm saying. So never share a bed with anyone with a penis. That's my advice to you, Brandy.
That's my advice to you, Brandy. That's like telling a really big kid not to go into the candy store, Timmy. Telling Brandy to stay away from penises. But anyway, I'm just
have a choice.
She's married to a penis.
I mean, my children.
That's how you got
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, know, it is, yes.
If the thing quit working on you, it seemed like it'd just keep you out of a lot of trouble.
And
that's all
I'm
saying.
Save you a lot of money, that's for sure. A
lot of money. Yeah, a lot. And I could, hell, I could drop down two sizes of jeans, Timmy.
I could delete my Western Union app, Colonel.
Yes, you could. You could have retired 8 years ago, Jimmy.
I've been retired when I was 35. Are you kidding me? Now, I've read that there's this date rape drug now that women use on guys. And they knock the guy out, but he'll still get an erection even though he's knocked out. Your comments on that, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, that...
We're going to have to start using a chastity belt, Colonel, when we go out.
Well, I've got one, Timmy.
Yeah.
I've got one when I leave the house because you know they can do the penis transplants now.
Right. So you have a chastity belt 2000. A chastity belt 2000.
I got the 2010 model.
Jesus.
Because I don't want to be walking around, wake up, find myself in a bathtub full of ice, and have a 4-inch penis attached to me, Timmy.
Yeah. Well, you've got to be careful, Colonel. You got to put that thing under lock and key.
Oh, you do. Because now they got a little thing on your driver's license.
So Colonel,
keep it in mind.
Shall I continue on?
Yes, please. Well, wait a minute. Wrap this up about your penis. You're concerned. Your concern is that
now they can do transplants, Timmy.
Roaming around trying to snatch your penis for monetary gain is what
you're
saying.
That's why I don't send dick pics to me, because it's just like
bait. Oh, you're asking for it then. Yeah.
You know you are. Mm-hmm. You know you are. So when I send dick pics out to people, Timmy, mm-hmm. I use other pictures of other people's penises, small ones, to try to take me off the radar.
You'd send a picture and you have it like filtered so it has like a little rubber nose and mustache and glasses. So they wouldn't know
the mustache
yours.
On it, smears. Yeah. No, there's a whole penis stealing ring out there.
See, Brandy, this is what you don't have to worry about, being that you're of the female persuasion. But those of us with peni, we have to worry about the penis snatchers.
It's scary. It's a scary world out there.
One time I was at the movie theater, I thought it was my date just reaching for the popcorn, Colonel, and it scared me to death.
Oh, no, you can't trust women in a movie, Timmy. Mm-mm. They always want to do a handy. Why is that, devil?
Why can't you keep your hands to yourself?
I'm trying to just up here watch Godfather or whatever. Mm. I don't want somebody just...
Groping you, like you're a piece of meat.
Right. Objectifying me.
Why do you do that,
Brandon? I got a brain.
Yeah. You have a brain, sure.
Yeah.
On it.
Okay, Colonel, continue with the story, please.
Okay, so anyway, let's get back to this story, Timmy.
He's more than just a pretty face.
I am.
And a penis. I am.
And a large penis, yes. Now, police confiscated a pipe bomb, Timmy.
A pipe bomb.
Handguns, a machine gun, the date rape drug that starts with an L that I can't pronounce.
It's Rohypnol.
Yeah, how did they get that out of Rohypnol? Anyway, marijuana, which, you know, is not bad then. It's legal now. But what's never going to be legal, Timmy, and I can't fit into where this fits into the scheme of the serial killer thing, is the live puff adder that they found. As well as how are you going to use a puff adder to be a serial killer, Timmy?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can see a
dude. Pipe you got a Brandy. Brandy.
What? What?
Google this guy. This Richard. Google this guy's picture. He's a creepy looking fucker.
Well, Richard. Okay.
B-I-E-G-E-N-W-A-L-D. That creepy looking motherfucker. I'm sorry, Colonel. Go right ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. So, he had a puff at it, Timmy. Now, during questioning, Fitzgerald decided, oh, fuck this. I'm just going to cooperate. I'm turning them all in. So, he told him about a third young woman who was in the garage. Fitzgerald told police that he had helped Richard transport this body to his mother's house in Staten Island and bury it in the basement. If you're going to bury a body, don't do it in your basement. It kind of ties it to you. Now, Fitzgerald went on to say that while he was digging in the basement, he ran into another body.
Yeah, it's a bad scene. Fitzgerald, that's a face a mother would love.
That's Black Johnny.
Well, you know, another dick who was ugly was Dick Speck, Timmy.
Richard that Speck, we hosted a podcast on him.
He was one ugly bastard. Mm-hmm. Now, Fitzgerald led police to the three other bodies. An investigation ensued. Richard was also suspected, but never charged in two other killings. One involved the shooting death of John Patrone, an ex-con, and sometimes police rat, unearthed minus his jawbone. I think the mafia did that to him.
Well, he's a rat, so...
Yeah. They found him in a wildlife preserve. Now, in other cases, Virginia Clayton, 17, she'd been abducted and killed on September 8th, and her body was found 3 days later, 4 miles from the site where Patrone was buried. Now, Richard was also suspected in the disappearance of a 17-year-old local girl named Betsy Bacon, who disappeared November 20th of 82. Now, her remains have never been found. Now, Richard Biegenwald was indicted by New Jersey authorities on 5 counts, Timmy.
Five counts, Brandy.
First degree murder. Although there were at least 9 victims, what do you think about this, Devil? There were 9 victims, but police only had enough evidence to charge Richard with 5. Fitzgerald turned state's evidence. He squealed like a pig.
As one is wont to do when your ass is in trouble.
In his in his testimony, Fitzgerald was only charged with 1 count of possession of a weapon and 1 count of accessory to murder after the fact, and served a 10-year prison sentence. Damn. He was released in 1994. A Monmouth County jury found him guilty on all 5 counts of first-degree murder.
Guilty, Brandy. Guilty as charged.
He was sentenced to...
Death, Brandy.
Good.
For him.
But the sentence was later overturned by an appellate court.
Brandy.
Is it death by fire?
Yes. Upon his death, he was serving 4 life sentences without the possibility of parole at New Jersey State Prison.
Not a near chance of parole, Colonel.
He avoided execution, Timmy.
He did.
Some bitch died on us.
You know what they should have did? They could have saved a trial. They just put a can of gasoline in his cell,
right,
some matches, and he would have took care of himself.
I don't like this guy, especially the puff addy. You know I don't like snakes, Timmy.
I know you don't. Anybody fucks around with snakes.
I'm not a snake lover. No, this guy was just your garden variety serial killer who
if snakes had legs, they'd be lizards, Brandy.
They'd be poisonous crocodiles, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if all of a sudden you gave crocodiles fangs.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't like any of it. So,
okay,
so that's all right.
Colonel, your final thoughts on the thrill killer, Richard Biegenwald?
Well, I don't like him. I don't like him, Timmy.
He's on record as not liking this guy, Brandy.
I'm against that. All he stands for. I wish the little bastard would have caught himself on fire at 8 years old and had just been a little pile of ashes, a future serial killer.
You know what? I blame
ashes,
his mom for putting him out when he
was
on fire.
I wish she would have caught on fire. I wish the dad
would
have caught on fire.
Yes. I blame the mom for not only putting Richard out, not letting him set himself on fire, but the dad.
So you would.
She saved the dad too.
Yeah. So basically, it's her fault. Is what you're saying, Brandy?
It is her fault.
Brandy, your final thoughts on the thrill killer?
I, again, had his mother just had any kind of.
But you know, he was weird because he didn't really have a pattern. He killed like randomly, and sometimes it was drug induced. Sometimes it was just for, you know, opportunity. He saw someone walking alone on the street. It's a kind of a strange pattern for a serial killer, don't you think?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's another quality program that we brought to you, as always. Yeah. And
free of charge, Timmy. Free of
charge. But we do appreciate all of you who donate to our Patreon account. That keeps us to be able to. It allows us to continue to bring you these high quality programs that are well researched. And of course, professionally recorded to your satisfaction. So, we would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
Just a wee little bit while we sleep, Brandy.
Yes.
I'm
going to thank some of these people, Timmy, and I got a challenge from one of these people.
Okay.
She's trying to trick me. Mm. And she said I could not pronounce her name. That's why I skipped her. And she has not made it clear what her nationality is, Timmy. Because depending on where she lives in the world, her name could be pronounced five different ways.
I see. And you are in tune to the different dialects in around the world.
Exactly.
Mm. Yes.
So I'm going to give you what I believe should be the pronunciation.
Pronunciation.
What she doesn't get, she's probably saying it wrong. I'm going to say
she doesn't know how to pronounce her own name is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I don't think that's the case, Colonel, but please continue.
Okay. And the first one is pretty easy. Charlene.
Yes. And Charlene, we are sorry we left you off the last couple of podcast when we didn't give you a proper shout out. So
yes,
a special shout out, Charlene. We really appreciate your supporting the show on Patreon.
But then you get into, she got two more names here, Timmy, and that's where she tried to trick you.
Okay.
Now her name should really be Charlene Mead Nairon.
I think it's Mead, but go ahead.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, because she said the colonel couldn't pronounce it right. I'm pronouncing it right. She's been saying it wrong her whole life.
She's the problem.
It's me aid, Timmy. Aid.
Okay.
All right.
Did they check your head when you fell? I'm just asking.
And asking for a friend. Ron. See, she doesn't understand that in most of the world, Timmy, her last name is spelled Negron.
Right.
In most of the world, that G is silent. Nairon. It sounds very classy to me. Mm. But she probably says Charlene Mead Negron.
Oh, because she don't know how to pronounce her
because
name.
Because she doesn't know how to pronounce her name properly.
I see.
So I hope you get that straight. Mm-hmm. Charlene Mead Nairon.
And no matter how you pronounce her name, we appreciate
it. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
Yes, we do. And then we got Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane. I love Tommy. Jason Dykes, our favorite librarian. Terry Stratford, Malachi, Brandon McBride, Jennifer Savota, Purr, Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hiro, The Comeback Podcast, LK Barr, Anut Reen, Marissa Albanese, Bridget, who we will keep on here forever, Timmy. Bridget Clavier, our dear friend, Bridget Clavier.
Yes.
Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben Ben,
who is now in Texas.
Yeah, so he only gets one name from now on. Ursula, Clark and Diane. Wonderful people, and they're up in the upper.
You know, I like that song that John Cougar wrote about Clark and Diane. You know, Lil Did It about Clark and Diane.
About Clark and Diane. Two American kids doing best they can.
It's not. They were hanging out behind the Tasty Freeze.
There was sucking on chili dogs.
Yeah.
Hey, this list is fairly extensive. How about we get through it?
All right.
Well, you got, where do you got to be today?
Hey, I got stuff. I'm very busy.
Beth Ann, what are you doing today exactly? Now, you want to throw that out there? Come on, let's hear. What you doing today, Doug?
What's your itinerary, Brandy?
Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. That's what I thought. You're going to be laying on the couch, eating bonbons, ordering Dave around, yelling at Noah. Watching some kind of housewives.
She probably makes Noah, you know, do her toenails or something. Polish her
vacuum.
Toenails.
God. Walking around vacuuming.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see
what
we got.
Kid.
Michelle Johns. Margaret McDonald. Lovely woman. Aaron Turner. Jess. And, you know, Timmy, I got to tell you, this is one that breaks my heart every time. And I know you was just out in San Francisco with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fake Irish girl, Timmy.
The lovely
Leanne Flanagan. Mm-hmm. A lovely English lass. I'm not saying Irish lass anymore because she's a counterfeit Irish girl.
Mm.
Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells. Amber Anderson, of course, the They Walk Among Us podcast. That's one we highly recommend for anybody who likes actual, real, true crime podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Dale.
Where they don't swear. Where like they, Brandy.
No, they don't.
You got Rosie, who swears quite a bit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Charette. Karen Widener. Favorite girl from Florida to me, Callie Jones.
Lovely
Lauren
Callie
Meredith.
Jones.
Jessica Greeno. Mike Brown from Pleasing Terror. Sarah Bloom. Amber Krupp. Laura O'Reilly. Christine Bourgeois. Kimberly Cameron, our official attorney of the group, Timmy. Elise Edgerton, History Goes Bump, Timmy.
Amber Trevino.
Yeah. Annette Trey, Lise, Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, You Killed My Father, Prepare to Die. Maja, we have next, Timmy. Shelly is the only person that yells at me almost as much as the devil. Shelly Garrett, Timmy.
Yes, of the Rants and Reasons. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Context and Clarity, yes. Podcast.
Carol Elise, Kristen Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, the Context and Clarity podcast, Timmy. We double dip in here.
That's okay. Worth it. Twice as good.
The Vanish Podcast, Canadian True Crime. Charlie.
Our good friend Christy Lee.
Over at Insight. Angela Santos. Lydia Fisher. Kim Stroop. Nicole Allen. Ron Monastero. Tracy Smith. Bridget Bernard. Stacy. Cheryl LeBlanc. LeBlanc. Weldon. Veronica Moreno. Chris Lane. Alexandra. Elaine Baker. Vivian Baca. Mark and Chi. As opposed to Mac and Chi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, the lovely, lovely Kimberly Smith. She got a new hairdo. Looks really good.
From Cincinnati.
From the west side of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. She's a west side girl, Timmy. Robin Sherrard, Ruth, Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt, Lady Beverly, who we all
the lovely
just,
lady.
Yeah,
Beverly.
You know what? You can hang out with Lady Beverly now because you're a baron, Timmy.
I am. I can hang out with
you
her.
You can go to functions.
We can do aristocratic stuff, Brandy.
Yes, you can. You
of
get
course
your
you
ascot
can.
On. You're going to get a cigarette holder, too.
I'm going to get a monocle, a cigarette holder, and an ascot.
That's
and I'm going to get a biplane, Colonel, and learn to fly.
Yeah, I think you should, Timmy.
Perfect.
I think you should. You don't like to drive much, but you don't mind flying.
No.
But, you know, there ain't a whole lot of traffic when you're flying. Was it
That's
the traffic
true.
That just got to you, Timmy?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Anymore? You don't have to worry about that when you're flying.
Yeah.
Just
of course, we got...
Sometimes you have to worry about Snoopy.
You do have to. If you're going to have an ascot and a monocle, you better worry about Snoopy, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got the world's most dangerous canine who yesterday stepped into a 6-foot snow bank, and he is not 6-foot tall. So, but he worked his way out of it.
How does he like? Where are they skiing at, or snowboarding, or whatever they're doing?
They are in Gaylord, Michigan, Timmy.
Okay, so it's up by Clark, and
they're very close to Clark. They're up by damn near. They're only a stone's throw from Canada.
Mm. And you're so, not. You don't like Canada. I that's why you didn't go. I don't.
It was way too close to Canada for me, yeah, Timmy.
Right.
Way too close.
And for the Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. They got all that little fan. I was gonna get some of my prescriptions refilled while I was up there. I told her, I was like, get a bunch of drugs, bring them back, but
get that codeine.
Yeah, and of course we got the world's most dangerous canine. I just mentioned Rudy the Wonder Dog, and who I just celebrated 7 years of friendship with on Facebook, Timmy.
With Rudy. Okay.
With Rudy, yes. And the woman we do this show for week after week after week after week. And hopefully the body count was high enough for you this time, Dottie. Dottie Scott.
Yes. Thank you for listening, wow, Mom.
Dottie Scott, the patron saint of podcasts.
Okay.
Brandon, I've got a couple of shout-outs real quick.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it was Chris Strafford's birthday
the other day. Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday. And my boyfriend Joe,
yes,
who I challenge to a putt-putt game when he comes down. And I will be very excited to see him. And I hope that he gets to feeling better.
Yes, we look forward to seeing
sure
Joe
that I do that.
At DweebCon in 2019, the return of the Colonel.
Yes.
Or the return of the Colonel fights back, or whatever we said it was. I can't remember. Return of the Colonel. Nice.
Return of the Colonel, yeah.
DweebCon is the first weekend of October this year in Cincinnati. It's going to be a blast. So if you want more information on that, come to our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. Please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes because we haven't got a review in like, 4 years. Thank you all for joining us. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, just go patreon.com/historydweebs. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.